The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
When it comes to weight loss, you don't need more advice. You need more of what works. That's Weight Watchers, designed for one thing: better weight loss results. With real coaches who show up week after week and host workshops and Q&As on a schedule that works for you. And real tools designed to take the guesswork out of what to eat, how to move, and how to build habits that actually last. Because real results don't just come from more advice. They come from the support to follow through. That's why Weight Watchers Core Plus members lose 3.5 times more weight than people who do it on their own. Get more of what works with Weight Watchers Core Plus. More tools, more support, more personalization, more of what actually works. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com. In a 6-month clinical trial of over 370 people, those using Weight Watchers saw significantly better results than those following standard nutritional advice alone. See the 2025 study published in the AJCN.
Well, folks, when you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time.
Why didn't you say that before?
Okay, Jimmy, you're off the hook. We got Miami, Cincinnati coming up. Any thoughts?
I certainly do, Fred. I hereby declare Miami to be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Every paper prints the damn betting line. You know, all anybody talks about is the point spread. Every local TV show prognosticator, every 2-bit local columnist. I mean, even the average Joe man on the street, all they talk about is the damn point spread. And you know what? It sucks.
I'm telling you, go to the store, get a 6-pack, get yourself a cigar and a roll of toilet paper. Because when you see this game, you're going to sh**.
College game of the month, absolutely free.
Meet Stu Finer, nickname The Source.
Listen.
He promises, quote, to piss on your bookie's face.
We got a quarterback picking North Carolina State +4. You can't have that, you know.
I'll just call myself Mr. X. Yep, you can't go wrong with Mr. X.
Let's get ready to gamble.
It has been a hot minute, but here he is. First time since Zabe Vegas? Is that possible for you, Mr. X? It's been a while. How
yes,
often?
My friend.
Good. It took a long time to recover from that trip. No.
How is it that I did not have you on since our trip to Vegas?
Shame. I don't know. I think we got tired of each other. It was a long trip.
No, I don't think that was the case at all. No. I don't know, something about
it was a great trip.
It was a great trip. And let's hope, knock on wood, we can do it again next year. Everyone said, what do you mean you're not going to do it? It was great, you know, and there's always people that don't come or they meant to come and they're like, I'm coming next year. And then whenever I hint like, well, I don't know if we're going to do it. Oh, no, come on. I was going to go next year. Well, yeah. There's no guarantees in life.
It reminds me of before things were so easy with apps and internet. It reminds me of the guy who's always, hey, when's our draft? You know, Like, they wait for someone else to do all the work and then say, like, the day before, hey, when's our draft? Are we in the league this year? Like, did someone organize it?
Oh, gosh. So we're in baseball season. I figured we should talk some baseball first and foremost out of the gate. Sure. Your record with your season releases, and it's too late to bet them now because we're well into a month into the year, but your documented record on radio and then here on this podcast and on your site, callmemrx.com, on season totals, 26 years of record keeping, 93-28, an unbelievable 77%. Now, I say unbelievable, but it's documented. 21-5 on the best bet of the year, even better, 81%. That's an unbelievable talent right there. Why are we all not retired as multimillionaires?
Yeah. I don't know. I wished I had. It's been a run. And then, you know, your producer, Solly, and someone before him did a really good job tracking that forever. And then when the radio thing ended, I just took his record and then started tallying my own on the site. It's been up there every year. I know a lot of people don't believe it, but it is what it is.
So what were your picks this year so we can see how they're off and running so far? And by the way, we're way too early to get worked up one way or the other. Yeah. But are there any of your picks where you're like, oh boy, I might have missed on this one?
I might have missed a couple, but there's none that I want to get out of. Let's put it that way. And that's a good thing.
Are there some years in which even a month in, you're like, Jesus, I need to get out of this thing?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to call up MLB standings right now.
All right.
I don't even really pay attention to the standings this early in the year. Like, that's probably the right way to look at baseball, right?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Only if you're, you know, if you have all the action in, you're damn right I'm paying attention. But as far as just a regular fan, no, the record is not important. There's a couple that are really, you know, playing poor and a couple that are overplaying. But for the most part, it's just get in the groove, get healthy, stay in the mix. It's like the horse race, you know, just stay in the pack.
Right.
Till you're halfway home and then let it go.
Don't break your leg in the first stretch of the race.
Yeah. Or have trouble getting into the gate. saw in the Derby.
And then throw your rider. Okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right. So in the American League, best record in baseball so far, the Tampa Bay Rays, 27-13. They lead the East. The Guardians are atop the Central, even though it's a 500 division right now. They're 22-21. Mm-hmm. And similarly in the West, the soon-to-be Las Vegas A's are in first place.
Yeah.
At 21-19.
Yeah.
Wah-wah?
Yeah, I would say this. I call this... I looked at the, you know, in March, I thought this was a throwback year, and it's too early, but it does look like it. And by throwback, what I mean is the best thing about baseball to me, other than sitting outside on a nice afternoon, the best thing about it is parity. You know, the best team in baseball wins 60% of their games, and the worst team usually wins 40%. Now, any other sport, you know, I mean, that's a 9-7, 10-7 football team. You know, both the NFL and, needless to say, the NBA with the horrific teams that can't win 15-20%.
Right.
You know, you look at the American League right now, Tampa and New York are off to red hot starts. Everybody else is 500. I mean, what, the A's are the third best record and they're 21-19 or something like that. And so they're all just floating around 500. There's a couple bad ones. And too good, and the rest are the same. The NL's not that different, even though the Cubs are a good start, and the Braves. But you know, you're not out of anything. They're all right around 500, and that's, I don't know. There's something about that I like a whole lot more than looking at an NBA standing. And when you come out of shoot 3-23, you're like, you know, what are we doing?
Yeah. All right. So, what concerning records would there be in the American League? I'm going to look at some of the last place teams. The Red Sox, obviously. And
the Mets and the Red Sox are the disappointments for sure.
Okay, you being a
American League,
you being a Red Sox fan, what did you make of the purge earlier this year?
I think I've had this answer the last 17 times you've asked me about a coach firing in any sport. I always say, almost always say, should they been, did they deserve to be fired? No. Do they ever? No. I mean, they just, it's what you do.
Right.
I mean, when you're going bad and you don't know what else to do, you clean house and the coaching staff. It's just what they do in sports. Is a coach like deserve to be fired? I mean, is he a good manager? Yes. Is he, you know, has he done a great for them? Yes. But you knew it was coming. He's been dodging the bullet. They never deserve it, but it's what happens.
How about the notion, though, that pretty much the Red Sox are being run as sort of a, yeah, we should be a power, but we're really not, and we're kind of cheap. And, like, this should be a crown jewel franchise. And the old John Henry group, they don't know what the fuck they're doing up there.
Yeah, I get that. They definitely don't. Let's put it this way. They rolled the dice with, you know, we've seen teams in recent years overpay the young players, and they call it, you know, keeping the young nucleus together, where you pay a guy before he hits, you know, arbitration and free agency. And when it works, you know, you look really great giving that money away and making fans happy. But there's a reason why they don't overpay young players, because sometimes they don't pan out. This Red Sox team, I mean, they're committed to going with young guys that they think were good, and I'm not really sure that they're going to be.
Yeah. And then in the West, you've got the Astros and the Angels in last place at 16-26. Is this just going to be a pass year for the Astros?
Well, I shorted them. They were tier three under for me, but they're getting kind of old all at once. There's not a lot to like about that team. They're not as bad as they're playing, but I saw them a lot closer to 500 than I did as a contender. Right. The Angels, I have a nice bet on the Angels to have the worst record in MLB.
Whoa.
And I got a shot at that. They weren't exposed to be that bad, but I like, you know me, I like a big underdog. I can't remember the odds on that. It was maybe 10, 12, 14 to 1, something like that.
Well,
but with the Rockies being the Rockies, everybody was a big underdog. So I wanted to find somebody that I thought could really stink, and that was them.
Well, currently the Angels and Rockies have the same number of wins, 16.
Yeah.
Angels are 16-26. Rockies are 16-25. There's some other pretty bad teams, but there's nobody super bad right now. So let's go to the National League. Braves atop the NL East, 28-13. That is the best record in baseball. And then you've got the Mets at 15-25, the ongoing disaster that is. I mean, it's just comical how bad the Mets have been spending money on guys who are not making a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every year there's one or two guys. You're like, why do we pay this dude so much money?
They can't get anything right. I mean, I had no issue with the moves they were making. I expected them to be a 90 plus win team. The only thing reason they don't is, well, they're the Mets.
Yeah. I mean, Bo Bichette signs a 3-year $126 million deal, and he is luggage right now. Devin Williams signed a new deal 3 years to strengthen the bullpen. He's been blowing saves left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. And Soto has not been Soto. They haven't got anything right. But you know what? As bad as they've been, I might be wrong, but I still think they're going to be in the hunt.
Really? Okay. How do you feel about the Nats at 19-22, and what is supposed to be a play the young kids and take your lumps kind of year, they're actually scoring a shitload of runs. In fact, 217 runs right now, that is tied for best in the major leagues. Go figure.
Yeah, I guess I feel like, yeah, they're overplaying on offense. Hitters come around. They'll hit a .150 for a while, then they'll get hot, vice versa. But bad pitching is bad pitching. Yeah. And that's what the Nats have. So they'll come back down to earth.
They've given up 230 runs. That is second worst in the bigs to only the Astros at 233. So there
you go. I went to my first Nationals game in over 6 years this month.
Do tell.
Yeah. My last game I went to was the World Series, when I went to the three World Series games when they beat Houston in 2019. The crazy one where nobody won a home game. I went to three games, all losses, and they won the series somehow.
It was the worst World Series of all time, because nobody gets excited when the road team wins and the stadium is quiet for seven straight games.
Yeah, but it was an experience. But that was next year. I had it with them during that whole fiasco, and I gave up
season tickets, and you got 15 years. You had
15, 16 years. Let's see, 19 must 15 years. And I gave them up during the COVID crap, and I never went back because it was all about the front office. It had nothing to do with on field. Just the front office and the management is just ruined it, and I had no interest going back. But X3 for his birthday wanted all of us to go. Aww. So I got seats for three of the four boys and Mrs. X and I, and the five of us went, sat in the front row in left field. We didn't do the usual. I said, I'll buy them for the family, but I'm not going back to the whole, all-inclusive things of the old days. So we sat in the front row, and it reminded you of why baseball's so fun. Didn't care about the game, but it's a great day when you sit outside and the weather's good. There's a game going on, but there's a beer vendor nearby, and, it's a good day.
And now when you're sitting in the front row, there's a fucking net in front of your face when they're shooting.
Yeah, but we were in the outfield, so there was no net. But yeah. We went in left field this time, not for good seats.
Didn't you give up your tickets in part because the ticket office was such a pain in the ass to deal with, and they kept charging you shit, and they wouldn't
100%.
They wouldn't
100%.
It wouldn't be flexible on stuff. And I mean, like, literally, you were a 15-year loyal fan, and you were not asking for anything unreasonable, and they basically ran you off. My brother,
I left for one reason. What I used to tell them all the time is, tell me the rules and I will follow them.
Oh,
but they love to say, you broke this rule, that, well, we don't really have it in writing, but you broke this rule. I was always on double secret probation, or something like that.
What rules are you talking about? Or what rule they claim that you broke? Reselling the tickets?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We sold, which they tell you have to do through their official partner, which you did. And we sold 8% of our tickets, and they got mad about it. I don't know. I can't figure that out. They'd say, don't sell 30. Don't sell 50. Don't sell. And I'm like, okay, tell me the rule. We'll follow. Because, I got six or seven partners to keep track of. And you got to make sure everybody's following the rules. And there was just always something. Always something. And, it was always something. They were always reaching their hands in your pockets.
Yeah.
And they couldn't ever say, you know what? This guy bought a lot of tickets. He spent a lot of money.
No.
These are 50 grand a year we're spending for these tickets. Let's not nickel and dime it. No, they couldn't do that.
Unbelievable. NL Central, Cubs atop at 27-14, and then the Brewers, the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Reds at 22, 23, 22, 22 wins.
Yeah, that division's gotten okay all at once.
It really has, hasn't it? And that's going to be a hell of a race down the stretch. I think the Brewers are kind of overperforming given some of their injuries early. They lost a couple of their bigger bats in April and parts of May. They're getting them back. Could be an interesting team right there.
I cannot offhand remember the last time I said Brewers and didn't say overperforming in the same sentence.
I know.
I mean, that's all they do. Give it to them for that. I mean, they overperform every year somehow.
Yeah, and the Cubs and their fans are going to think this is our year.
And I like the Cubs. I like the Cubs.
And then the West, the Padres at 24-16 are atop, tied with the Dodgers at 24-17. Rockies are bad as expected, 16-25, but may not be the worst team in baseball. Any thoughts, surprises in the West?
Not really, but you asked me early about who the best bets were And I want to point out, you know, there's one thing that's different now, which I still have a hard time getting used to. It used to be the books could not wait to take down the season totals. I mean, they could not wait to get them off the board because they supposedly lost money all the time on them, and they took them down. But all the new kids, all the new books, they keep them up. I mean, they're up now. They adjust them, of course, up and down. So when you say it's too late, well, it kind of is on some of the ones that look good, but if they're playing par, they're still up.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Now, so,
for example, the number one pick for me this year that goes on record as the 1-1, and this got a lot of chuckles at Zabe Vegas, as I recall, because everybody wants to hear a good, solid winner. Give me a really good team. And when
Give me one that's over by Labor Day, please.
Yeah, exactly. And I want them to be really good, but I'm sorry. It is what it is. My number one this year was over on the Rockies.
Jesus. And what's their...
I know, that's... Well, it was only 54.5.
And how are they pacing on that?
They're on pace to win 64 right now. Now, granted, they can lose 15 in a row as good as anybody. Sure. But the whole point, and I'll make it quick, the whole point on the Rockies was, my first thought was, I mean, they won 43 games last year. One of the two worst records in 125 years. Yeah. They're horrible. So you look at that and go, how did they get 10, 11 games better? Well, the answer is there's nothing about this team that had anything to do with last year's team. New management, new ownership, new everything, cleaned house. And will they be the worst team? Probably. But will they be a 100-year worst, horrific team? No. 55 was just too low.
Too low.
They should get in the 60s. That was what I said, they'll get in the 60s. And that doesn't mean they're any good, but I don't. That was too big of a margin for me to think that they were going to be 54 and not a typical 62-100 club. So that they were my number one of the whole year. And I know it's hard to keep watching them have 6 and 8 game losing streaks, but they're pacing okay. I like where we are so far. They're bad. They're just not legendary horrific like last year's squad. They even have what do you call it? Their old ownership. They said they were the only team in baseball that didn't have iPads.
Really?
They did no analytics. They were just rolling out the bats like it was, you know, pre-Billy Bean. And then they brought in Dee Podesta, and the first thing they did was, like, get iPads and data. And it's like, it was so easy for them to get better over what they'd done the last 5 years.
Yeah. All right, so that was your number one play. What were your number two, number three plays on season totals?
Well, in the tier one, so to speak, I did have the Mariners over 89.5, and they're off to a rough start. But I still think they're as good as anybody in the American League, and they'll get there.
Okay.
I had the Angels under 70.5, and I think that one looks good. I think they stink. And Trout's not even hurt yet. So we got
which is coming at any time.
Yeah, good for him, but, you know, that team's horrible. And that team, you don't even know how you can have a front office in any business as bad as theirs. It's such a joke. This might be old news, but I think I wrote about this. Do you know about the Kikuchi, their number one pitcher, and air conditioning issue?
No.
Well, that was he was back in Japan, and he was battling through some injury. And he blamed it on the fact the air conditioning in the weight room in L.A. had been broken all year. And so they started a little social media battle. He was saying, you know, they can't even fix the air conditioning. And the Angel owner, they went on social media, was like, that's just not true. And the next day they took out an ad in the paper for an HVAC tech. It's like, you can't make that stuff up. That's how bad that organization is.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the only other one of the top four is I also took the Royals over 82.5. I think they win the Central. And they're not going to get over by much because there's a lot of mediocrity there, but they're as good as any of the teams in that division, so I took them.
Yeah.
So that's my top four.
All right, very good. So Bobby Cox passed away this week.
Yep.
Rest in peace. The most ejected manager of all time in baseball. but also a guy who was old school in certain ways that I don't think there'll ever be another one of these guys again. Tim Kirkjian, on a podcast, had a story with Jeff Francoeur. Remember old Frankie? Jeff Francoeur of the Braves was a big golfer. And he told this story about Bobby Cox when he was playing for the Atlanta Braves.
I've watched this guy, and I'll never forget pulling into Allworth the first time and seeing him on the range. And it was probably the most surreal moment of my life. I've been lucky enough. I've met President Bush, President Obama. I was not nearly as starstruck as I was when I met Tiger Woods for the first time. But what the coolest Bobby Cox story is, guys, is, you know, Bobby during spring training loved us to play golf, loved this. We were playing the Yankees at 1 o'clock on a day game. And I was 22 years old. I'd been playing for 3 months as a starter. I was not going to go up to Bobby and be like, hey, I need the day off, right? Like, and but he comes out to stretch and goes, Smoltzy said you had a chance to play with Tiger today. There was a 150 tee time. And I'm like, Bobby, I'm fine. Like, I'm playing today. He goes, no, I'll make you a deal. He said, after your first at bat today, run through first base and kind of rub your ankle a little bit like you hurt your ankle. And he's like, in 2 days, we're going to Bradenton. And you know, Tim, you have to have whatever, three starters make a road trip.
Sure.
And he's like, I hate Bradenton's infield. I don't want to get any of the guys hurt. So if you go to Bradenton, I'll let you go play with Tiger today. So sure enough, man, we're playing the Yankees, 12, 13,000 people in Orlando. I ground out the first at bat. I run through first and I start, you know, rubbing my ankle. And, you know, Bobby, he waddles out there with his feet. He checks on me. I run inside. I literally throw my golf clothes on. I didn't shower. I get to the golf course, and they're on the first fairway. So I hit my tee shot. We end up playing 27 holes. And about 4:30, my wife sends me a little thing that there was an update that said Francoeur day-to-day with a high ankle. And I'm out there playing hours with Tiger. So the best part is the next day, I didn't have to do anything. I came in, like, iced my ankle and all that. And Bobby-
How good is that?
It is load management when it was really good load management.
Yeah. I mean, no wonder why those who played for Bobby Cox absolutely loved him. Yeah, I'm sure he ripped into his players real good at times, but at the end of the day, was a player's manager that understood the nature and the rhythms of the game that plays every goddamn day, which is baseball.
Yeah, and I don't even know if there are any anymore that aren't just puppets. I mean, the players are in charge now, not the managers.
Well, the players are in charge, and unfortunately, the analytics nerds are in
charge. Now, that too.
And
so,
So the analytics department is actually telling, you know, managers, this guy only has 5 innings tonight. This guy can't go on back-to-back nights. And you're like, why? What am I?
And they have it down to such a, you know, at the game I was at, you know, it used to be there were signals from the dugout, move in, move back, move left. Now, between hitters, they pull the card out of their back pocket, every outfielder.
Yeah.
They look at the card, and it tells them, you know, 4 steps left and 2 steps back. And they're sitting there moving all over. It was cool to watch that. And I was like, I mean, it is such a precise science now, and there's just never – there's not going to be Earl Weavers and Bobby Coxes anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah. Also, with the umpires and with now the ABS challenge system, I guess I got to get you on record. I don't think I've talked to you.
Yeah.
Do you like it so far, or do you hate it?
I will say this. They're implementing it as good as you could ever do. It takes no time. It's – there's no like, hold on, let's check. You have to do it instantly. The pitcher, catcher, batter, boom. It's cool. The way they're implemented is great. I don't buy the box. I just don't buy the box. It's like playing a video game and to sit there and say, well, look at the replay. It's 1/8 of an inch below the line. So clearly it's a ball. Yeah, but I don't buy that line. I just don't buy that it's accurate.
Why don't you?
I'm not buying it. It's two-dimensional, not three.
Okay.
The plate is three-dimensional. The line is two-dimensional.
So in other words, a pitch could be coming in...
backdoor curveball.
An inch above the two-dimensional rectangle.
On the front.
On the front, and it dips down into the back.
Mm-hmm. Or it can be a backdoor curveball. It can start outside the plate and come across it. When it's a half an inch, an eighth of an inch, and it's a curveball, I'm not sure that it, you know, that too. I just don't buy that. It's so easy to freeze it and go, ah, look, it's a strike or it's a ball. I just don't think those lines are perfect where, now granted, the umps are no perfect either. Don't get me wrong. So it's probably an improvement. I just think when you put it up on the screen like it's an Xbox game and go, oh, look, when we were at the game, the first challenge of the day, boom, it came up. And it said right on the screen, 1/8 of an inch low. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't buy that. 1/8?
I am dubious of that as well.
Yeah.
Very dubious it's that specific, that accurate. The funniest part, though, about ABS is that you see a bunch of challenges that get overturned, and certain Twitter accounts will say this umpire missed 22 calls and 16 of them went against so-and-so team. Nobody's tweeting out all the correct calls that were challenged and did not get overturned. Somebody's been running the numbers, and they're like, yeah, a lot of calls are getting fixed, but a lot of calls are good right away.
Yeah, sure. Well, there's good data on it. I read it. I can't say I follow it, but like they're tracking right now the catcher, the hitter. You know, you can look up this catcher's had, you know, 10 challenges and he was right 9 times,
right,
or
right,
the hitter's wrong 4 out of 5 times. And you know, and look, it's geeky. But the other thing is, let's not pretend all pitch when you sit there and start blaming an umpire. Let's not pretend all pitchers throw the easiest pitches to call. I mean, some guys' balls and movement compared to others.
Oh, yeah.
They're not all the same. You know, there's some guys that are like, you get back here and try it. You know, come on.
Also, when it comes to, you know, the whole thing with the challenges, you got to tap your helmet right away.
Right away.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it right away, you're not going to get the challenge. I saw a clip this week in which it seemed like one of the umpires just ignored the catcher. And then the catcher was like, hey, I was tapping. Like, the umpire looked right at him, standing right there behind him, kind of ignored it, and then just said, nope, too late. Yeah. And
well,
there's a theory that some of these umpires are going rogue and they're just getting sick of being challenged. So they're like, no, I'm not going to give it to you.
Yeah. But what it really comes down to now, and let's call it the analytics guys, what it really is, and they have to, some of the guys get it, some don't. What it really is a matter of is, as a hitter, they have to know it's not about being right. It's about, does this one matter? You know, the managers have to get them to know. It's almost like base stealers. There's guys you give them a hey don't run sign, or you can run. You need a hey don't challenge sign, because you sit there. You know, if it's 0-2, nobody on base and 2 outs, and they call strike 3, and you challenge it, and they say okay, it's ball 1-2, and you strike out on the next pitch, and it's the first inning. What are we doing here? You know, there was not a rally going. There was not a time to say, hey, I want one more chance to try to get a 2-out, 2-strike hit with nobody on base. That's not a percentage challenge. And that's almost more important than just getting them right or wrong, is knowing when to use your, is it 2, I think? You know, you got to use them when it matters, not just because you're mad you struck out.
And some teams are not using them as much as others, and there are fans questioning why are we not using them. At least I think the Brewers are one of the lightest teams in terms of challenges, and you know,
I would have thought the opposite. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think I saw that, don't quote me on it, but my point is, now some fans are going, hey, wait a minute, why are we not challenging? They're free. Like, we got to use them or lose them. We should be challenging some of these guys, don't you think?
Yeah, when you get to the late innings, you got to use them. You're right. But you just don't want to overuse it early, even being, you know, if you miss one of those, you know, when it's a non-important situation. Yeah.
Also, you heard about shrinkage, right? And I don't mean George Costanza and science.
That's all I was thinking of.
The number is 225 out of 430. 225 out of 430 hitters listed on opening day rosters saw their official heights drop or shrinkage because the ABS system requires a accurate measurement of height. And so, because what they do is that the ABS uses a percentage recalibration. So they use a percentage of a player's height. They don't try to measure specifically, okay, here comes so-and-so to the plate, but it's, they enter it into the system, right? Gavin Lux dropped from 6'2 to 5'11. Bo Naylor dropped from 6 foot to 5'9.
As I say, I bet there's more 5'11 and a half guys than ever.
Yeah. Connor Wong dropped from 6'1 to 5'11 and on and on. Previous measurements were often based on self-reporting or measurements taken when a player first signed as a teenager. Good thing they're not using ABS to do weights. Because how many times did we see over the years a guy was listed at a certain weight and you're like, no fucking way that fatso is 220 pounds.
Yeah, you might have reported to camp it that way, but you've been hitting it hard since. Well, in the future, you're going to see, every athlete, they've always overestimated their numbers. Now, what are we going to start underestimating? A bunch of, 6'2 guys are going to say they're 6 feet to try to get some ABS advantages?
I don't know.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Let's talk casino for a second. MyBookie.ag has a full Las Vegas-style casino right on your phone. Blackjack, roulette, craps, slots, video poker, all of it. No flight, no parking, no guy next to you who hasn't showered since Thursday. And they have live dealer games. Real humans on camera dealing cards and spinning wheels in real time. You can watch the shuffle. It's not some random number generator. It's an actual person running an actual table, and you're sitting at it from your couch. New players get $25 in casino credit automatically with promo code ZABE, just for making a deposit. Free money to try it on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. So are your boys and are you enjoying the NBA playoffs? And do you have a strong vibe for anybody other than OKC, which put the Lakers and LeBron to bed last night?
Of course, X4 is... Yeah, they all are into the playoffs. I can't watch it. I will soon. I go downstairs. He texts me in the fourth quarter if it's close, and I'll go watch the last 4 or 5 minutes, but I can't watch more than that. Everybody goes up 20, down 20. It's too hard. But I will say that the Spurs can play with OKC. I mean, the Timberwolves are very underrated. They're going to battle them to the end if Wemby can stay in the series. But the series that matters is the Spurs and OKC. I don't think that as good as OKC is, the Spurs give them some matchup problems.
Well, the Spurs are 3-1 against them this year.
So, they do give them matchup problems.
For what that is worth, they are 3-1 against them. Now,
I didn't know that, but yeah, makes sense.
Were you surprised or did you think the NBA went too light on Wemby for the elbow to the throat?
Oh, man, there's big arguments in our house on that one, the whole inconsistency thing. But I'm with it because I do believe history matters. I do believe in life and in sports and everything. How many times you've done – I mean, don't – I know if Draymond Green had done that, he'd probably be in jail, and that's fine.
Sure.
But the point is – people do make mistakes and, you get suspended, you get fined, you're told don't do it again, you do it again, they up the fine, they up the suspension. Every time you do it, it goes up a little bit. So it does matter that it was really his first, quote, offense, and an ejection was warranted. And I don't like all the comparisons to, Draymond or everybody else saying how, and you when you compare other like incidents with suspensions, but it wasn't other guy's first one. Yeah. For his first one, it does matter. If that's the fourth time and you've been suspended or fine, if you're Rasheed Wallace, I mean, they have to up it each time to get your attention because you're not following, the protocol we want. So I was okay with an ejection. There was no question it was an ejection costing the game, but it wasn't suspension worthy. And if it was if you've already been suspended for similar things twice, well, then, yeah, you're going to get a bigger one on the third time.
Yeah. Also, the Pistons and Cavs are now tied 2-2. Cavaliers were looking pretty bad after the first two games, but they poured it on last night to win going away. The Knicks, meanwhile, are going to sit around for the better part of a week, having dusted the Sixers. I'm still struggling with, are the Knicks really this good? I wouldn't hate it if they are, and they get into the finals and make things sexy. Although watching ESPN during the finals with the Knicks in it will be insufferable. But are the Knicks really that good?
Well, my answer is, first of all, on the Pistons-Cavs, it's not the series hasn't started till a home team loses. You know, they both held serve.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's two in Detroit, but then two in Cleveland. So, you know, nobody gets an edge until they get a road win. So that's going to be a very close series, I think. The Cleveland backcourt can give the Pistons all they can handle. The Knicks simply are the best in the East, and they should handle whoever survives Detroit, Cleveland. I think the Knicks are in the finals, but I don't think they have any chance to compete with the San Antonio OKC winner. And I know San Antonio may not get by Minnesota, but I think they do. But they just I think San Antonio can give OKC a real tough series because of the matchups. They won't put Holmgren on Wemby. They don't like that. And they start throwing guards on him and just playing kind of they don't play well against them. But I think the Spurs OKC is the series obviously to watch.
Yeah.
And the winner takes care of the Knicks easy.
Go
ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the boys were all, three of them were over for our Sunday night dinners they were downstairs for the lottery, and they came firing upstairs after the Wizards win. Oh, man, were they pumped.
Yeah.
And X2 was 1,000% convinced this story ends this way. The Wiz gets the one pick, and LeBron comes for a swan song to play with Anthony Davis in Washington for 1 year. He's convinced it's going to happen. I don't know.
No way.
Well, attitude was, the only thing that would happen is LeBron would come here and stink, kind of like Jordan, you know.
But, I mean, although LeBron's not as bad at this point at the end of his career as Jordan was. I mean, I saw Jordan get stuffed by the rim on a dunk in a Wizards uniform. It was not something I cared to have watched. From still in my mind the greatest player of all time, but LeBron.
But if LeBron has a really bad year left in him, it would be in Washington.
Exactly. Well, look, your boys are part of the lost generation that have
seen
meaningful, legitimately good NBA basketball in this town.
Nothing. Yeah. Do you know when the last time the Wizards won 50? 50?
Been since the championship year of 78, I believe.
Actually, it's 79. They lost the finals. The 78 team actually only won 48 games, I believe, off the top of my head. But then they got hot in the playoffs. 79, they won 50. They haven't won 50 since. That's a long run of mediocrity.
And 50 is a low fucking bar.
Mediocrity.
Considering the NBA record is 73 now. 50.
Yeah.
Unbelievably low.
X4 hit me at dinner last night with one that I couldn't believe. He said, after this draft, you've probably seen this, but after this draft, the Wizards will now have the most 1-1 picks of any NBA team.
Wow.
Shocker. This is their seventh. And so that's more than anyone.
1-1s that they took? Because remember,
I'm actually taking it. You know, for example, so they have to actually take it. If they trade it away, they wouldn't have it. Well, if they take it, it'll be their seventh time picking 1-1, which is the most. I could only name three of them. I couldn't name the first three. They were way back there.
Do you have the list in front?
Oh, yeah. Well, I know. I mean, John Wall and Kwame Brown were easy. I guessed Walt Bellamy, which was right, in 62. But the other... three were guys back in the 40s and 50s, and I couldn't tell you who they. I never heard of the names in my life.
Okay, but
I'm stunned that they have that many. That they, I mean, I would never have thought of them as a team picking 1-1 very often.
This you have to go back to them being both the Chicago Zephyrs and the Chicago Packers.
Right.
The Chicago Packers of basketball, 1961. technically part of the team history for the Boule, now the Wizards. Okay. Walt Bellamy, center for Indiana, was taken one overall. The Zephyrs the following year, Bill McGill, center from Utah, taken one overall. Kwame, John Wall. Also, there was Gene Melchiori for the Baltimore Bullets in 1951. Get this. Gene Melchiori was part of a point-shaving scandal at Bradley that resulted in the NBA banning him for life. Melchiori never suited up for Baltimore nor any other NBA team, and the league has practically erased his selection from history.
Okay. Didn't know that one.
That's incredible that the Bullets once took a guy 1-1 who was a point shaver and never played because he got banned by the league.
He probably, at Bradley, he probably got like $20 on a free hot dog.
Exactly. Oh, God. Well, speaking of not taking the 1-1, there's increasing chatter, and I scoffed at Andy Pollin when he suggested this on Monday's pod, that because Dybansta, who is from, I believe, Boston area, liked playing at BYU, liked being in Utah so much, that he kind of really wants to stay in Utah, and the Jazz are sitting at 2.
It's more than that.
What?
It's more than that.
What is it?
The Jazz owner is going to overpay like crazy. You probably know, I can't think of the owner's name. He was instrumental in getting the kid to move his senior year from Massachusetts to play in his senior high school year in Utah. Then he dished out all the NIL money to BYU to get him to play at his alma mater at BYU. Now he has the 2 pick in the draft. He's been chasing this kid for years.
Okay, but
he's going to chase him more.
Okay, so, but you say, I mean, aren't NBA contracts slotted like the NFL or no? For rookies.
But what I'm saying is, if he's been paying for him and chasing him since high school and giving him the BYU money,
you're saying as soon as he is due for actual a new contract.
No, I'm saying they're going to try to trade up. He wants him. The Wizards, they picked 2. Going, you know, back up midseason, there was 3 guys, maybe 4, that are, you know, in the hunt for the 1-1. This isn't an obvious year. And I don't know. Granted, it's the Wizards. They'll screw it up. But there's no reason in the world to not move down from 1 to 2 with a guy who's going to overpay to move up from 2 to 1.
Well, that then gets very interesting. And if I were, what's his name, Malone, for the Wizards, the team president, I would keep that phone at my side as the draft gets closer because, Dybansta is the consensus one, but there's a lot of people who say, forget about Peterson being a bit flaky in college. That will pass.
Yeah.
Who he is as a player, look at how he would fit on what you've got right now. This is the guy. Like, I've heard that. And I can see that line of thinking. It depends on how much you could get in a one spot move down. Holy shit.
Exactly. You don't trade away that 1-1, but you do when you're just moving down 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Boozer is a good fit in Washington. Some people put him in the 2-3.
No. Boozer is not, I don't think, an NBA star.
I don't either, but a lot of people, he's. He'll be a good fit somewhere. And by the way, who did the Jazz hire the day after the NCAA to head their scouting? College scouting? Boozer's dad.
Yeah.
They don't want him though. They want the kid from BYU. But I don't see how. The bottom line is they're going to say all the right things. Both teams are both going to play it cool. And as we get closer, Utah's going to come calling with a big offer, and I don't see any way a team as bad as the Wiz cannot take it. I don't see how they don't trade down and take Peterson because,
well,
because they're going to get more. They're going to get a package. I think that guy's, he has shown his cards by overpaying for that kid for the last couple of years. He's going to do it again.
Would a single lottery protected number one pick 3 years from now be enough to move down one spot?
Well, let me ask you, how well do you understand the whole new lottery system that they're throwing out there? It's no longer the bad team. You can't just trade with a team and say, well, they'll be in the lottery. They're all going to be in the lottery now, and everybody's going to do it. So it's such a crapshoot that I don't know that getting even a bad team's one brings with it what it used to, because they might, you know, you don't know where they're picking. Anybody can win this thing now.
No, but my point is, The weakest, I think, offer you should consider if you're the Wizard is a first round pick, and it would be a protected first, meaning the team that gives it can claw it back if they're in the lottery. So it's by definition a really weak first round pick. Like to me, that seems like it would be the right price, but nobody's ever made a move like this in the NBA. At least I can't remember. Can you?
It seems like, well, I'm not good with this. I think maybe I'm mixing up, but I thought the Celts with Tatum did similar when they went from 1 to 3 because they wanted Tatum, and nobody seemed to want Tatum. So they went down from 1 to 3 to take Tatum when Fultz went 1 and I forget who went 2. And everybody was wondering why the Celts moved down and they got the right guy.
Yeah, Fultz went 1. That was a huge miss by Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But didn't Boston trade out of that spot? I thought they did.
Hold on. Here we go. Teams have moved up one or two spots at the top of the NBA draft. 2005 draft, the Bucks moved up 5 spots to secure the number one. Oh, that's in the lottery. Okay. I'm thinking about trades here. Yeah. I'd have to look at the trades that went on. But, you know, in terms of, okay, if you're a Wizard fan going, I don't want to take a guy who doesn't want to be here. Ace Bailey did not want to be in Utah. And he famously made it known that, fuck this shit. Well, they played it slow. They played it calm. They let him have his little tantrum. He was picked 5th overall, and he had a really good rookie season, 13 points, 4 boards, and he's going to be part of their young core. So I don't know. We'll see. I think from a fan base standpoint, though, it's going to be very unpalatable to trade out of the 1-1. I just do.
Well, I agree with you. I just think this guy is going to make a play. Let's put it that way. And when they say no, he's going to make a couple more plays.
I think your instincts are right. And I agree with you that once he gets super horny and offers enough for me to say we're moving down, I would do it. But I would do it. I don't think they will. I don't think the Wizards, from a PR standpoint, can stomach the idea of moving out of that spot.
Every time you say Wizards and PR in the same sentence, I start laughing. Come on. I mean, how can you own a team for that many years and never get anything right?
Well, I mean, different ownerships. Uncle Abe, of course, owned it for a long, long time. Abe Pollin passed away. Finally, Ted took over. He had a minority stake in the basketball team when he was running the Capitals, the hockey team, for a number of years. And they've tried all kinds of ways, and none of these have worked. This might work now. They've got the best shot that they've had, at least in the last 20 years. We'll see. Okay, real quick. The NBA rookie contracts are slotted based on draft position. A predetermined scale is used. Teams, however, have an 80 to 120% window of flexibility on the slotted salaries. But it says here, most teams just opt for the maximum 120%. Oh, yeah. What a league. What a great league to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mama and Daddy, don't let your kid play anything but bouncy ball if he's good at multiple sports. Basketball is the fucking league.
Oh, if you can get, there's no question if there's any such thing as, and that's what actually makes it so bad, is the max contracts. To me, okay, everybody gets a max, so that means like being the best in the league and being the 28th best in the league, they both get the max. And they're not the same guy. But it's everything is, God, give them the max.
Well, right. They're you know, the NBA players are the highest average salary, fully guaranteed contracts of any of the pro sports we have.
And oh, yeah.
If they were smart, they would go, we're getting ripped off. Every one of our star players is hitting their head on the top of the salary ceiling, which tells us, which should tell anyone, the owners would be willing to pay a lot more. And hell, in the cases of like Kawhi Leonard, Steve Ballmer paid a lot more in a nefarious scheme that was fully uncovered by Pablo Torre, who won a journalism award for it, and the league hasn't done shit. So
right. Well, if they didn't have the maxes, though, you're just going to pay the Wembys more and the guys 8 through 15 on the bench less.
Well, they
so by having those maxes, that's what makes these guys that are 10th and 12th men getting these ridiculous contracts, because they're going to give it to them. And if they didn't have the cap in the supermaxes, they'd just shuffle it off the bench and onto the stars.
Yeah. Pablo Torre won a Pulitzer Prize in audio reporting for 2026 after an investigation unraveled the secret, alleged, fraudulent $28 million endorsement deal involving Aspiration and Kawhi Leonard. So in other words, they've already given Pablo Torre a Pulitzer, and the league is still sitting on its hands. Which they would, because Steve Ballmer is the richest owner they have.
They don't want to know. No. They just don't want to know.
No. I can't see. I can't hear. Don't talk to me.
Adam Silver wants no problems of any kind. He is the biggest yes man. He's like Jim Carrey walking around. Yes, man.
Yeah. All right. So you're off to Maine for the glorious summer season. Up to the cottage, up to your now two different boats, one of which is water worthy. The other one needs some work. First one is named Don't Tell Mom. The second one that you're going to work on and at some point float out onto the lake is called what?
Well, I don't know if it's Don't Tell Mom 2, T-O-O, but that thing's never going to float on the water.
No?
No. No, I'm gonna renovate that. And hopefully get it. I told you, I'm going to renovate that thing and I'm going to flip it and I'm going to make $20. That's my goal.
So wait, how can you flip it if it doesn't float?
Most people when they buy, it floats. I'm just not going to go to the effort to take it to the water and put it in. It's going to stay on the trailer.
Oh,
that's what I mean. Yeah. Okay. No. I don't mean it.
All right.
Yeah, so, the renovation's going to take place, you know, on a trailer, and I'm behind. I'm usually up there by no later than, you know, early mid-April. I'm a month behind getting there this year, so the schedule's not good, but because you got to sell them in the spring. Nobody's going to buy it. People buy boats in the spring when they're about to use them. They don't want to buy them when the season's gone, so I don't know if I'll get it done this year. I hope to. That's my first priority when I get there is one less thing for Mrs. X to complain about. You know, that's the goal.
You know, if I were buying a boat from you, I'd want to float it first. I would not take word on a trailer that it's going to float. Yeah. Just
that, you know what? It's a shocker how many times people say buy boats and go, how's the engine? It's good. I'm with you. When I bought jet skis, I wanted to see them. I wanted to drive it in the water. I can't buy them on a trailer, but people do it. I don't know how. I made a deal. I paid it. First jet skis I bought, I paid the guy, I don't know what, a few $100 to bring them to my lake. And I said, I'll pay you this. And once you get here, I'll either buy them or you've made a lot of money for just bringing them here and taking them home. Jeez. But I wasn't going to buy them without driving them on the water. But I will tell you, people do. I'm not going to be asking enough that it's going to matter. If it runs, that's a bonus.
Yeah. All right. I want a picture of you in a white tank top with your pasty white lobster skin getting all red with your wild ass, soon to be wild ass summer hair going on. You got a haircut right now. I see the white beard. You just hunched over the deck of Don't Tell Mom 2.
Mom 2.
Sanding some of the ply, the veneer planks of your
butt. Yeah.
Putting in the wet equity, Mr. X.
I'll be doing that. Mrs. X calls it the Bubba Gump shrimp boat, but it's pretty bad looking.
All right. Stay frosty, my friend. One of these days I'm coming up there to visit you. You know, I've got family that used to live in Maine, so I know very well how serious the summers are.
Both days of summer are usually fabulous.
Yeah. Don't miss them. Don't blink. You might miss them. All right. Mr. X, the website's callmemrx.com as we are now squarely in the baseball season, and you still have employed your degenerate kids who love the NBA more than life itself and are pretty good at sussing it out to help you on the site.
Yep. All right.
Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody. As always, rate and review, and we appreciate the 5-star ratings. Have yourselves a Cracker Jack Wednesday, and we will see you next time. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
A BetterHelp ad. Therapy isn't just for times of major challenge. It's a valuable tool for anyone wanting to improve their well-being. It can help you develop healthy coping skills, set boundaries, and support personal growth. BetterHelp makes it easy to get matched online with a fully licensed therapist right from your phone. No commuting, no waiting rooms. And you can switch therapists at any time. Sign up at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com.